TalkLine is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during TalkLine may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
Express yourself.
Hello, hello. Good morning, everybody. It's July 24th. It's Friday. I'm Diane McGachran. This is TalkLine. You're whoever you are, wherever you are. And you are welcome to call the show for the next 90 minutes. You can also email us. We already have some callers up, so I'm going to jump right into it. We have the new refuge manager, Boyd. Good morning, Boyd. Welcome to TalkLine. And welcome to Bethel.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, trying to adjust to cooler weather.
Yeah. Oh, where did you come up from? Or over from?
Definitely up from South Texas.
Oh goodness. Wow.
Right.
Yeah, where in South Texas? Because Grady, who operates the board here, he's from Brownsville.
We came up from just outside of Brownsville, Harlingen, Texas.
Oh, he's freaking out in the booth. He's all familiar with what, he probably knows you. You probably went to school together. Anyway. All right. So tell us about your job. Like, what position? Remind us of your position. You're the refuge manager. And what kind of things are you looking forward to out here?
Well, I'm the new refuge manager. Ray Bourne, who you talk to often, I think, and who calls in often to give updates, has been the manager, acting as a manager, and really filling two positions for many months now. And so I'm here to give him some relief and help him out. So we're a team at the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. We have a number of staff that work on biology and management, maintenance, and law enforcement, aviation, you name it. And so I'm there to just be a part of the team and coordinate with them on their efforts. It's a big place, as you know, 19 million acres, and we're really understaffed, but we're trying to cover a lot with the staff that we have, and so every position we can fill is important. And so I'm just happy to be a part of the team, and right now I'm in quarantine, so I can't do much with the COVID-19 issues going on. I haven't even really been able to see Bethel yet, but so far, I love it, and I have two kids and my wife that we're all here. They're 6 years old, and so we've been just trying to run around in the tundra as much as we can and stay away from people.
Yeah, okay. And you're on quarantine for about 2 weeks then, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Okay, and so you've got, I just think of all the things ahead for you. The birds, the boat rides, the tundra walks, the berries. Right. Oh, my goodness. You're going to love it.
I hope so. And we've already gotten to pick a few berries. The kids love that. And that's been fun for them, a new experience for them. They're 6 years old, and they just were born in South Texas. And so they've only known the heat, humidity, and not much berry picking.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, they're going to really have a good time. Yeah, good.
We hope so.
That's awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
And, well, you can call me Diane.
Diane,
or Diane, ma'am. No, just Diane is fine. So, okay, well, welcome. And, you know,
Thank you.
Look forward to hearing, you know, just, you know, I think it's great if the refuge wants to call and just share something about a bird that, you know, out here, kind of, you know, tidbit, you know, a piece of trivia about some of the birds that come out here, or other kinds of wilderness information that's just fun to know.
We'd love to.
Love to hear
one
from
little tidbit that's funny. I don't know if this is unusual. I've heard it's unusual, but our first day out on the tundra, we saw a moose right outside of town. So I thought that was really cool.
That's very exciting. Yeah, you know, some years ago they had, probably somebody mentioned to you, they had a 5-year moose hunting moratorium. In Section 18, is big section, and it worked, And now we see moose near Bethel.
That's great.
Where you wouldn't have a while back. So, oh, that's exciting. Did it have babies with or just alone?
It was just the one we saw was alone, but later I did see tracks with calf, young tracks. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, what a great experience right off the bat.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Diane, ma'am, I mean.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, get it right, Mr. Boyd. So, what's your last name, Boyd?
Well, that's where it gets complicated. My last name is Blihovdi, and it's a Scandinavian, Norwegian name, and I don't expect people to be able to pronounce it, and and I'm going to have trouble pronouncing some of the names and places around here, but I'm going to get my practice in before
good.
I attempt it.
All right, good. Well, for right now, I'm just going to call you Boyd.
That's great.
And leave it at that. And right. We welcome you calling anytime and sharing with us what you're discovering and things about our wonderful refuge.
We'd love to.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Glad you called. All right.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, cut him. You cut him off quickly, Grady. And he's a hometown boy, too, from your neck of the woods. All right. We're going to go to John Nick. Good morning, John. Somebody got in before you.
Yeah. I noticed that. I said, oh, no, it's okay, though. I want to welcome that person here to Bethel, and I'm glad you got to see the wildlife and things that his children never seen before. And it's a good one. It's a good one for refuge. He can see all kind of things that we live off, off the land and everything else, because that deals with the land anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about last week's call. I called about the stimulus package for the corporations.
Yes.
And they all had a stimulus package, from my understanding, ONC, Gillesta, and all corporate members that belong to a corporation all got the stimulus money. But I was telling about this stimulus money is for the shareholders, in order for them to build up the economy and spend money, because we're going through hardships now. You want to know how hard it is, Diane? You know how much it costs to go from Russian mission to here now?
No.
On airlines?
No, how much?
Charter. It's $1,000.
Oh, my God.
And as far as you can go is on a regular run would be from here to Marshall, and then you'd have to be picked up by boat.
Yeah.
That's how much the recession is holding us down. And you imagine how much people need to come here on certain things that are being held because of the outrageous prices. That's really steep. I go moose hunting there every year, and I don't think I can make it this year because the thing, it's so high. And one of the things that the stimulus package can help is help the shareholders spend it on the economy. That's what it's made for, to build up the economy. Not to be held up and not to be secret about it. It seemed like it's being really kept under the table. I never heard no representatives from ONC to Lester Tom usually calls up. Nobody called about that. What's the deal here? Are they doing shady things like they did in the past? They've always had a recognition of that. Every time they get a substantial amount of money, we hardly hear nothing about it. Us shareholders, that's who it belongs to. It goes to the directors and their salary increases and everything else that works with Gillester and stuff like that. That's got to stop. This has got to be. This money's for the people, not for the corporations. The corporations only direct it. So please, somebody who's on there listening, let the people know what's going on. Don't be kept it on their table, not utter a word. Because we won't hear nothing like that. We all have that right to hear something about it. So that's all I want to say. And please, you're out there today, it's kind of wet, wear your rain gear. And if you're traveling, going on berry picking excursions or doing something, please, if you could, take two boats at least, And watch, cut your speeds on some of them corners in the slough. Some are blindsided and you don't know. So I've rode boats before where people were excessively speeding on blind corners. That's dangerous. We recently had an accident right on the river. So please be careful when you're approaching boats and make sure you're taking the right turn And if you're not sure, slow your engine down. The other person who's riding it should notice that, and then they'd be in question too, you know. Mm-hmm. Anything in order to save lives, you know.
Yeah.
You've got to wear a life jacket and always be cautious and courteous of other drivers. Always be aware and safe. So speaking of safe, make sure your kids wear your life jackets and they fit properly, and everybody else had a life jacket. And please don't drink and drive, and watch your excessive speed, and enjoy the week and have a safe one.
Okay.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. You have a good day.
Thank you. You too. Okay, I'm going to go to an email. This is from Anonymous. Anonymous Indigenous for Democracy. Okay, and the email goes like this. Hello, Chalista shareholders. Do you think that the shareholders of the region should be involved in deciding whether or not the Donlin Gold project should be developed? There is a petition drive underway to call a vote of shareholders to decide. Whether you want the mine or not. Be sure to participate in this vote if you feel that this decision should be made democratically. You can sign the petition online via a Facebook page, No Donlin Gold Facebook page. Also, if you receive a mailer about it, please fill out the stamped postcard and return it by mail. End of email. Okay, thank you for your emails. If you would like to email and have it read over the air, you can do so using either your name or anonymous. And you would email us radio@kyuk.org. Okay, our next caller is Dr. Al Gross from Anchorage. I believe that Dr. Gross is... Oh, you'll have to turn down your radio in the background. Welcome to the show, Dr. Gross.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Diana.
Oh, hi, good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now, that sounds great. And I believe you're running for Senate, right?
I'm running for the United States Senate against Dan Sullivan. Yes, I am, and I'm really happy to be on your show. I'm really sorry I can't be out there in person. I was out in Bethel last year traveling around, but because of COVID-19, I don't think it's safe to travel out there right now for obvious reasons. But
yeah,
I just wanted to reach out and to the people in your area and say good morning, and that I'm definitely thinking about your area as part of my campaign, and it's really important to me.
Yeah. Now, what are your can I ask you a question while you're on the air? I guess. Yeah, just.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Now, do you think you'd be opening a campaign office here in Bethel?
We will have a regional organizer in Bethel. I'm not sure about the actual physical location. Michelle Spark is our deputy campaign manager. She's, of course, from Bethel.
Oh, yeah.
And so she's very much part of organizing that part of our outreach.
Okay, good. Now, we just had an email regarding the Donlin Gold Mine. What's your take on Pebble Mine and maybe Donlin Gold Mine, just in general mining like that in the last
Year? I grew up in Juneau. You know, I was born and raised in Juneau, and Juneau was founded on mining and has two very successful gold mines there. But the people there want those mines, and I've come out very strongly against Pebble Mine. I don't think that it's worth the risk to the culture in the region. The people in the region don't want it. There are very few jobs associated with the Pebble Mine relative to the number of jobs in the fishing, both commercial and sport industry in Bristol Bay. And so I've come out firmly against that. With respect to Donlin, I still need to learn more about it. But from what I understand, the people in the Bethel region are opposed to it. And I would stand up with the people because that's why I stepped up to run. I care about the state and representing the people of the state. And I want to do what's best for the people regionally.
Yeah, thank you. And, yeah, so what are some important things that you would like to do in comparison to how Sullivan has been?
Well, first of all, I would always be representing the state as an Alaskan. I believe that Dan Sullivan's nothing more than a rubber stamp to President Trump's policies, and he's not doing what's best for the state. And I stepped up to do this because I really think I have some good solutions for our economic problems here in the state. I think that my policies would help promote job creation. And as you know, I'm a doctor, and I've been advocating for a public health or for a public option for people to buy into health insurance directly from the government to buy Medicare at cost with no intermediate private health insurance company that has no transparency. Mm-hmm. I think that'll dramatically lower health care costs in the private health insurance industry and encourage businesses to move to Alaska and provide economic relief for the people that are already here. But I, with respect to more rural parts of Alaska, I really am a strong advocate for moving forward on renewable energy projects, which I believe will lower energy costs in rural Alaska, which can help economic development in parts of the state that where energy is just too expensive right now to develop businesses. And then, of course, broadband internet needs to be improved across the state, and this will allow for internet-based jobs in places like Bethel if we have access to high-speed internet. I think we could have, you know, people like Alaska Airlines employees taking phone calls out of their homes, just like they do in Boise and Boise, Idaho, and Phoenix, Arizona, and Seattle. There's no reason why they can't be in a village in rural Alaska if they've got good internet. So I think that's a really important part of my plan as well.
Okay. That, I guess you've got it down. Now, can you say what? Like a particular policy, you mentioned policies that you would want to promote, but can you give like an example of some policy, like national policy that impacts Alaska that you'd be interested in pursuing?
I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to, but like with respect to healthcare, I would support allowing individuals and small businesses to buy into Medicare at cost. That's the so-called public option. Uh-huh. And I think that's a real strong step in the right direction to lowering health care costs, which is something that the Affordable Care Act was not successful at doing. So I think we need to move forward on health care policy in such a way that it actually benefits consumers and lowers the cost of pharmaceuticals and health care to the people of Alaska. With respect to climate change, I think we should get back on the world stage and have discussions with and be partners with other countries towards developing policies that work towards limiting and reversing our changing climate by moving forward on renewable energy projects wherever it makes sense. And, you know, I am a very, very strong advocate for renewable energy where and when it makes sense.
So, you know, going to a kind of a topic now going on and then we'll have to wrap up. What about now the pandemic? So the rates in Alaska have been increasing. What kind of what is your take on ways that we can be mitigating that the coronavirus now in our state?
Well, unfortunately, the virus is now being spread around the state by community spread. It's not just travelers bringing it in. We need a testing system that's rapid, mm-hmm. 5 or 6 or 7 day tests that makes it really difficult to control the virus. We need more advanced contact tracing, and I'm an advocate for I'm a very strong advocate for vigilantly following people that come into the state and making sure that they're not bringing the virus to it, because as you know, it's now getting out into some of the villages.
Right.
And this is a huge problem. And, you know, I also have a master's degree in public health, so I do have some experience in this field.
Yeah.
And my wife, Monica, is also a doctor. She's a pediatrician with a master's in public health.
Oh, nice combination. What about masks? Like, that seems like a really simple way that anyone can participate in mitigation.
Yeah, we absolutely should be wearing masks indoors in closed spaces. We're very fortunate that in Alaska we've got lots of wide open spaces outdoors, and I don't think you need to wear a mask if you're adequately socially distanced outdoors. But inside, I think we should absolutely be wearing a mask, and I think our president and our federal leadership has really failed, including Dan Sullivan, leading by example, and they've split the country into half the country believes that masks are not productive, that they're not safe, and they're promoting ideas that are just absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we're going to go have to wrap up, but I'm so glad you called, and I hope you'll take advantage of calling into talk shows again since you can't come out and visit. And we look forward to a time when maybe you would be able to visit before the voting happens. So.
Yeah, well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And for those of you that don't know me, I was born and raised in Juneau, and my dad was Governor Jay Hammond's Attorney General. And so I grew up around the two of them and share their vision for Alaska. Jay was a huge role model to me and a close family friend. And he and my dad's relationship together are the real reason why I registered as an independent when I was 18. And I stepped up to do this because I care about the state, and I don't like the direction that our state or our country's going. And so I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. I'd like to meet you in person and hope to be in touch down the road.
Okay, good. And if people wanted to learn more about you and your position on different policies, what is the website they would go to?
Yeah, our website is www.dralgrossak.com, DralGrossak.com.
AK.com. Okay, thank you. All right, have a great day. I'm sure you're busy making other calls, Zooming, whatever people are using these days now.
Yeah, we're using about every media avenue that we can right now, because we can't travel as much as we would have liked to. And, you know, I was able to get out all around the state very early in my campaign last spring and summer. I was expecting I'd be able to get back out again this spring and summer, but events have changed and we're making the best of it. Yeah. And we're building a very strong campaign against Dan. So I appreciate your help.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. You too. Bye bye.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. That was not a COVID cough. That was an allergy cough. Grady didn't catch me quite in time. Okay, thank you, everyone, for listening and thinking about calling in. I'm going to give out the numbers, 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8985. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org for either your call or your email. If you're kind of shy, you're welcome to be anonymous. All right, we have Herman from Aniak. Hello, Herman. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I was going to call people and tell them when I went to Anchorage and I saw what happened there, but I'd like to caution KYUK for allowing people like the guy who just called. I don't think you're allowed to campaign on public radio, because that's not giving your opponent a fair chance to get to the people. And be careful. I think you have to report that on your campaign, what you call that. You have to file out with the state, and you can't allow one candidate to do that on the radio without allowing another one to other chance to do that. You guys can get in trouble. Anyway, I'm calling, let people know that seeing what's going on in the world, and I'm always in Anchorage, and it's so different. Like your money's no good. Like, you can't use money in a hospital and Walmart. You can't use money, and a good time for people to put away a lot of food. Right now, I'm going to get a big freezer and fill it up and can a lot of fish and put away a lot of food right now, because one store or another village there, cells are empty. And there's something bigger going on, this corona thing. Some politicians are using it against the people, and in Anchorage, they're having a protest today against the council, and they're not using their money in the right way to help the people in Anchorage. And I went to the store, an ammo store, a lot of the cells are empty, the main bullets that people buy. Things are getting pretty hectic, and it's predicted in the Bible about pestilence and how money will fail. But main reason I'm calling is, like, Calstar, they got lowered. travel costs, I got $600,000. Right now, they're just asking how to spend it. Why don't they fix that sewage lagoon? Why don't they fix that sluice lagoon in Kalskai? So they don't have to pump it in the river all every year, right when we're getting our fish. Like Kalskag, another village, their sewage lagoons were built on top ice in the tundra, and that's why they have to pump it. They need to build another one like Anyash, where they don't have to pump it into the river. People, you can call the Kalskag Tribal Office, 471-2279. Tell them to quit fighting over how to spend that money and use it to fix that sewage lagoon. You're endangering everybody. There's a lot of little minnows swimming out there when they pump it out. But most of all, you guys, it's all happening in the Bible. And right now, if we ever need God's help, it's now. Pray in Christ Jesus' name to help us here in rural Alaska, in Anchorage and Juneau, and help us what's going on, and try to protect ourselves and put away a lot of food, and, you know, don't be scared and don't believe everything you hear on talk radio. They're using talk radio a lot of times and KTVA, KTUU. There's a battle going on. All the cities are failing. It's appearing here in Alaska. So be careful what you hear on talk radio, and enjoy what God give us, all the berries and fish and everything. Okay, have a nice weekend, everybody. Okay. Bye.
Okay, thank you. Just a reminder that anybody who's running for office is welcome to call Talk Line and answer some questions. And so also, usually I keep a 5 minutes, but I don't have a timer with me. So, and when we don't have other callers waiting, some people sometimes get longer than 5 minutes. But in general, we keep it within that range as best as I can. Anyway, we're going to go to a short break. We have a couple callers lined up after the break. Thank you for that. Time to wash hands, maybe do a little wipe down, and make sure your mask is clean and ready to go when you need it.
Staying safe this summer means staying home, social distancing when you have to go out, and following all CDC guidelines. Contact your local Indian health care provider for more information. Visit healthcare.gov or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
It's been almost a year since they moved.
Ever since we moved here, they hardly get sick.
We're praying that they make it on time.
The basketball court is beautiful.
We had to banish one person.
Residents of Muktavik reflect on the joys and challenges in their new home. You can hear it all on KYUK News starting Monday.
That's this Monday, July 27th on KYUK.
Everywhere you look these long summer days, there are opportunities to help your baby's brain develop. Explain to her each step of catching a fish, or the proper way to dry salmon strips, or how to tell when berries are ready to pick. The more you talk to and with young children about a whole range of different topics, the better prepared they'll be. It's all part of keeping your baby on track, ready for school, and set for life. This message brought to you by this station and bestbeginningsalaska.org.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We have a couple callers. We're going to go to Susan in Bethel. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
As usual, Friday we're doing the produce dairy giveaway. Last week we had that obstacle of the construction road people right in front of that area. But we still managed. And it was beautiful, the people that chipped in to help give people rides, because there was people that cabbed there, and people recognized their neighbors and gave them rides with themselves. So that was really a good thing.
Nice.
Now, today, this week, we happen to have 9 pallets. So So we're not likely to run out early. And again, that's for anybody and everybody, and it's thanks to an AC Store farmer relief grant that they wrote. And it's produce and dairy. The produce box has all kinds of veggies, cabbage, radish, apples, oranges, what, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then the dairy has milk, cheese, and butter. And again, and if people want to volunteer, they can help, but there's minimal paperwork. We just get numbers, that's all, no names. And then tomorrow, Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., is the food bank, and volunteers can show up at 10 to help set up. And that's generally canned and dry goods, shelf life stuff. So that'll be out tomorrow at the food bank from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we don't run out of food, but at 1 we close that down. So it's a double weekend of getting your pantries and refrigerators and freezers full. And and anybody that want to volunteer, I want to put a plug in for Jayla. She's been here. She's a JV person, and she did 2 years here, and she was very instrumental in coordinating these food banks and the giveaway, and we're going to miss her. This is her last time at both events, and people can give her a big thank you when they come by, because we sure appreciated all the work she did to make these things go smoothly. And she's a hard act to follow. We'll still keep these things going, but we're going to dearly miss Jayla and her really good efficiency and handling of things. So that's all I have. I wanted to just announce the giveaways this weekend. And produce and dairy is for anyone and everybody. The food bank is a lot more income-challenged people. You know, there was the YK layoffs. And if you're on Quest cards or TANF or limited Social Security and all that, you're income-qualified. And then that, again, will be tomorrow from 11 to 1 behind Lions Club. The produce giveaway is today at 4 at the Culture Center parking lot. And any questions on those?
No, that sounds like it goes pretty well.
Yeah, I'm going to try to set up a last produce dairy giveaway last week. I had little farm animal sticker things I gave to people that had kids. I'm going to try to set a funky photo booth. It's got an inflatable palm tree and a sign that says Summer 2020 Staycation Destination Bethel, Alaska. I might get that out there. I'm thinking of there's some fundraisers coming up later this summer, and I just wanted to experiment with that. And that's just a freebie. You can take a picture for a cell phone on Facebook or whatever. Okay, and have a good weekend. I don't know if anybody's going to call about the dumpster painting party, but that's Saturday. The last I heard it was from 4 to midnight Saturday past the dump. There's dumpsters that are socially distanced from each other, and people can, like, bring rough sketches. There's a art teacher and some other people helping to coordinate that.
Yeah. And they're fantastic. I did go drive down there, and they're really awesome.
Yeah, they still have some panels to paint and some people that didn't show up. So they were going to do a painting party Saturday at 4 to midnight, but if they get painted, they'll get painted, but that's what they had talked about on a coffee talk earlier this week. Okay, that's about it. Thanks, and have a good weekend, everybody.
Thanks, Susan.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
All right. What an amazing thing, the giveaway of the dairy and produce today and tomorrow. Okay, we're going to go to a caller from Kalskag, Dwayne. Hello, Dwayne. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I just have a couple things. First off, I want to complain about our cell service here in Kalskag. For the past couple of years, we've been having terrible service. We pay a lot of money. We have to pay the services that we get that we don't have. We're still on the I don't know what they call it, but we don't have any 3G, nothing like that. But we still have to pay for that service that we have. And a lot of people's been paying like 5, $100, $200 here and there. But the service that we pay for, we're not getting. Like, we don't have that. And GCIL say that's not our fault. That's, I don't know what the deal is. But GCI needs to get out here and fix the problem. Every time we do a complaint, they say that's not on their end. I don't know what the deal is, but we've been trying to reach out to communities in Kalskag and Lower Kalskag to file a complaint on the FCC's website about the issue. And if GCI has a supposed to have a to keep up with their standards, but I don't know what that is. Another thing is a caller from Anianka was complaining about putting the sewage into the river.
Yeah.
They have a permit to do that, and I don't know who else has a permit to that. I think Bethel has one, but they have a permit. And then Alaska Rural Utility Collaborative manages certain villages, but they too need to address issues. They've been going under the radar for a long time. They need to address Kalskag. Kalskag's been, having concerns like that, but they need to step up to people's concerns along with the sewage lagoon.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Very thoughtful.
Right. Because have a good weekend.
You too. All right. Bye. Okay. We have a couple of emails I'm going to read. One is from Anonymous, and the email starts like this. If someone from Chilista can call and explain who, what, and why Nagamut Native, I hope I said that right, Native Corporation land exchange proposal is a good idea. Like many shareholders from the region, I was caught off guard and knew nothing of this. And if you're hearing this for the first time, you should be concerned about backdoor dealings between the two organizations. And for the record, Crooked Creek, local villages, and TKC oppose the land exchange. So I'm going to go to another email. I'm not sure, when people don't, Grady, I don't know, when people don't put anonymous or not, I don't want to use their name if they don't really want their name used. Yeah. Yeah. Richard Robb writes, and the start of the email is, good morning. The Bethel Sportsman Club will be hosting their annual membership meeting on Monday, August 3rd at 7 p.m. at the VFW building. All members and anyone interested in the club are encouraged to attend. We will be voting on a couple bylaw changes and new board members. There are 3 board seats open, so if you would like to nominate yourself or anyone else, please email BethelSportsmanClub@gmail.com or you can call 545-2456. I'm sorry, I just gave the wrong phone number. So let me say that again. It's 545-2452. Show up early to renew memberships and get a new key for the range. The lock will be changed at the conclusion of the meeting. Masks and social distancing required. Thank you and have a great weekend. The end. End of email. Okay. Awesome. All right. No other emails? Okay. So I'll give out the numbers real quick. It's 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. Our lines are open at this time. I'll give a little bit of weather for Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. So today, as you look out your window, it's cloudy with a chance of rain. Highs in the lower to mid-50s, southwest wind 15 miles an hour. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of rain. Lows in the mid-40s to lower 50s, west wind 10 to 15 miles an hour. And Saturday, guess what? Cloudy with a chance of rain in the morning. Highs in the lower 50s to lower 60s, variable wind 10 miles an hour. So as you look out your window in Bethel here, this may be how it's going to look for the most of the day, tonight, and probably for much of tomorrow. All right. So if you look in the, there was last week, there was a caller who called in about the Ultra plane that they had built with a snow machine engine. What is that called? Ultra glide, or I forgot what the name of it is. Ultralight plane. They flew from Fairbanks to Bethel. So if you wanted to know more about that story, it's in this week's Delta Discovery, and they describe the plane and the travels and how does he get gas when he absolutely needs it. What happens when there's a really strong wind gust and his plane starts being pushed to 70, 80 miles an hour, which is kind of dangerous because the plane is not supposed to go so fast that it begins to break up. So he had some wild times along the way. But that's a really good story. So that's in Delta Discovery this week, along with this adorable photo of the baby reaching out to pick the salmon berry with her mouth. That's so cute. All right, we're going to go to a caller from Bethel. Mary. Good morning, Mary. Welcome to Talk Line.
Good morning. I have several things that I want to bring out. First of all, tomorrow I will be able to volunteer at the food bank. And another thing is, like, on Tuesday there was a city council meeting, and I was to go to that. But you know what happened? The cab drivers did come and pick me up, and then they see it's me, and then they just drive away. And I think it has to do with the new person who's being hired to be the chief of police here in Bethel, because I've had encounters with that guy in Anchorage where assisted living homes were being very mistreated me all the time, and he used to be with those people. And I think that's the reason why that nobody wanted me at the meeting. Had I stayed in town like I wanted to, I would have made it. But I've had so many negative encounters with Mr. Simmons, and now, that's why I was, like, barred from the meeting. However, just because that happened does not scare me. It just only gives me more ammo to keep fighting for justice. And, you know, so many people run for public seats not to really help people or regions or any associations. They're just there to get money, to get free furnishings for their apartments all over the world, and that's it. And the fact that they swear and promise on the Bible to help.
Uh-oh. Mary, did you drop your phone? Okay. I think we're losing a connection. We can go ahead and move on, but hopefully Mary will call back and tell us more about what's on her mind. Sorry about that, Mary. If you can hear, call back. She mentioned our new police chief. There's also in this week's Delta Discovery, there's a question and answer column with the new police chief, Richard Simmons, Jr. Chief Richard Simmons, Jr. I know. We're all Richard Simmons, the exercise guru. Maybe he changed careers. No, he didn't. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm joking with Grady there in the booth. Anyway, there's a Q&A with him, and he's got a really interesting policing philosophy, because he's kind of interested in community policing, which is a way, which means, he's also from Texas? Oh, I don't know. I Fort Worth. Okay, so Grady, everybody's coming up from Texas. Well, you know what? I don't blame him. It's a great place to come to, Bethel. Anyway, he's into that. Oh, did Mary call back? Oh, okay. Community policing, which just means developing stronger relationships with the community. And so, and that can really go a long way in maintaining a good balance with policing and the community and serving the citizens. All right, so our lines are open, and I have some Tundra Drum announcements that that I would have read, but they're not uploaded here, so I won't read the Tundra Drum announcements. Right? Yeah. Okay. So the numbers to call are 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954. And you can email us at radio@kyuk.org. Okay, and as you heard from our earlier caller, Susan, there's a food bank event on Saturday, July 25th. That's tomorrow. This one will be behind the Lions Club from 11 to 1. It'll be all outdoors with masks and social distancing. Volunteers needed and can help set up at 10. So you can go to the Lions Club at 10 a.m. and volunteer for that. This afternoon from 4 to 5 in the Cultural Center parking lot, there will be giveaway of dairy and produce. And last week, that was quite a lineup. But when you go, and they'll probably have you line up, I don't know how they're going to do it if it's raining, but people were outside. Really important to social distance, 6 feet apart from people, and to wear masks. That'll just keep things safer for everybody. During the rest of July, which is about another week, and all of August, there will be a weekly produce and dairy giveaway, as I just mentioned, at the Cultural Center. I know. Anyway, I gave that announcement. So, let's see. There's no application or income limits for the Friday or the Saturday food dispersal. All right. The Office of Indian Energy and Economic Development, through its Living Languages Grant Program, is soliciting proposals from tribes for grants to fund native language instruction and immersion programs for Native students not enrolled at Bureau of Indian Education schools, including those tribes in states without Bureau of Indian Education funded schools. For more information, call 907-269-3646. The Board of Elders for the Bethel Moravian Church has unanimously agreed to close the church for all indoor congregational gatherings until further notice due to the rise of positive COVID-19 cases in our state and region. Future worship opportunities will be announced in the coming days. So that's the Bethel Moravian Church has decided to close until further notice due to the COVID-19 case increases that we're seeing in the state. So if you'd like to call in about how your tribe is handling the COVID-19, maybe there's policies, new policies and procedures that your tribe is following about people visiting. I know some tribes you have to get permission before you can visit. Some tribes have banded together. KYUK was reporting on three tribes upriver. I don't remember all three of them. I think Emonic was one, Alakanuk, and a third village. And they all had an agreement that if one finds itself with a positive case, all three will go into a collective lockdown and would support each other in doing that. I think that's very powerful, and it takes advantage of the fact that we are in a situation and in a location where we can stop the virus from coming. And that's through our own simple activities, masking up, quarantining when you arrive from Anchorage. Oh, sorry, it was Emonic, Kotlik, and Mountain Village. Well, I got all three of those wrong. Okay. Dang, I don't know why. I read about the other ones probably in some other kind of context. There's a large university research grant funding finding out how the different tribes in the state of Alaska are handling the COVID virus through their own procedures and protocols that may even be stronger than the state or even the nation's protocols. And they're collecting data on, they've sent out a short survey to all of the tribal councils in the state for small communities to see how they are handling the virus. So I think that's very powerful that they do that. Okay, our lines are open, which is kind of unusual, and I don't see any emails right now. So you're welcome to call in if you have anything that you would like to share with the region. You can be anonymous, too. You can call 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. You can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. You can be anonymous if you feel kind of shy, and we will not use your name. Sometimes when we do have a high volume of callers, callers get frustrated when they don't get through, and we want people to understand that there are three phone lines for all of the talk shows, and when the 543 numbers are busy, those numbers will just keep ringing. So in your mind, you're thinking, why aren't they picking up? Well, the reason they're not picking up is because the lines are already busy and it doesn't give you a busy signal. It just rings and rings. When you call the 800 number, when that number is busy, that line automatically hangs up on you. So you're going to think, wow, they're not even letting me get through. They're just hanging up on me. But they're not. The 800 number has its own rules, so to speak. And so when it's busy, you're going to dial it. It's going to hang up on you. And that's the system. We're not doing that to you. Also, the phone system we have, it doesn't show phone numbers. So we don't have the ability to pick, you know, that caller and that number. And then this, we just do all the calls in the order they come in and they're put up on the board. And I just, invite people onto the show in the order that they've called in. So when the number you are calling keeps ringing or it hangs up on you abruptly, we encourage you to keep trying and understand that other people are probably doing the same thing. And that's how, at KYUK, that's how the phone lines handle being busy. All right, so we got a caller from Quinnahawk, Willie Keppel. Good morning, Willie.
Good morning.
hope you guys is not raining like we are down here.
We're lightly raining, but are you heavily raining?
It was coming down pretty good earlier. It's changed out to light right now, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, we probably needed it. The river was pretty doggone low anyway, you know, so not too worried about fires. We're pretty well past that part of the year.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a bunch of things. I'd like to remind everybody that Dr. Al Gross running for Senate that was just on there was a commercial fisherman out at Juneau. And when the United Fishermen of Alaska decided to throw their support, they didn't give it to him. And he's a commercial fisherman from Juneau. They handed the support to Senator Sullivan because he'd been working tons of different things and trying to get things straightened out, even out here in the Bering for us too. And it's a slow, long, drawn out process. You have the state of Washington fighting tooth and nail because mostly they own the boats out there. That's where most of them come from. So it's a long, complicated deal. Maybe someday it'll work itself out. But I'd like to remind everybody, even the fishermen he's associated with wouldn't back him. So, moving past that, I'd like to go into why we're losing our permanent fund. And we're losing our permanent fund because of a thing called the binding caucus in the Senate, and it's the House majority in the House. Now, if you go to KYUK Talk Line, and I forget the date, but I can look it up, there was an interview between Tiffany Zolkowski and myself. We're both running for the House out here on the YK. Tiffany bragged about joining the House majority. Well, when you join the House majority, you give your promise so that you can have committee memberships and big staffs and lots of spending money. You give your promise to vote for two budgets for the 2 years you're there. You know, every House member is up for election every 2 years. You promised before you even go down and start the process for the first budget, you've already promised to vote for it. And the coalition basically takes away your right to represent the people where you live. Well, you got a bunch of greedy people that want the PFD. They put together the budget. Tiffany is forced to vote for it. Well, she ain't forced to. But she does vote for it because she's part of that coalition and doesn't want to lose committeeships or anything else. So I would say anybody that goes down there and does that is not somebody we need from here. We need that PFD, and all you berry pickers, put 5 gallons extra that you're burning to go pick berries. You better be putting it into your fuel oil tank unless you can grow fur like a grizzly bear, because there's no PFD coming in October to bail you out to fill your tanks. So that's what I got this morning.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Willie.
Uh-huh. Have a good day.
Okay. Okay. I think we're going to go into a little break, right? As I like to call it, the hand-washing break. You're listening to Talkline on KYUK 640 AM.
Talkline is an opinion-based show to share ideas and viewpoints. Statements made during Talkline may or may not be factually true. Callers are encouraged to engage in civil discourse and are free to challenge or affirm the opinions presented by fellow callers. The comments and opinions expressed are those of the community and not KYUK broadcast staff, management, or board of directors.
AVCP's Benefits Division offers a variety of services including energy assistance, TANF, and burial assistance. Workforce and Benefits Navigators are available in 33 tribal job centers across YK Delta to help you determine the services you qualify for. More information is available by contacting your AVCP Navigator at your nearest tribal job center or the AVCP's Benefits Division at 543-8650 or avcp.org. This message sponsored by the Association of Village Council Presidents.
Washing your hands is an important part of preventing the spread of illness, including COVID-19. If your home or community does not have running water, you likely cannot wash your hands with the recommended soap and water. There are a number of effective ways to clean your hands when water is limited, including hand sanitizer and diluted bleach solutions. Visit www.ykhc.org/COVID-19 for alternative hand-washing methods and for the latest news from YKHC regarding the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. If you have symptoms like a cough, fever, or shortness of breath and think you have the virus, do not go to your village clinic and do not go to the emergency room in Bethel. Instead, call your village clinic or in Bethel, call 543-6949. This message brought to you by YKHC and KYUK.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. I understand there may be a little bit of a problem with my mic, so apologies if my voice is coming through to you in a way that's particularly garbled or not quite clear. We'll get on that later. We're going to go to Susan from Bethel for part two. Part two,
yeah,
of Susan.
I want to do some corrections since I called.
Okay.
The Saturday event is income-based.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's Food Bank. It's Food Bank of America.
I remember going one Saturday you didn't have it as income-based.
Yeah, but now to avoid confusion, one of the things at the Culture Center. And it's not produce and dairy at the food bank. It's shelf items like peanut butter, raisins, beans.
So are you going by the honor system? Like people should only
There is paperwork, but it's minimal now.
Okay.
And Mary has been a big help in the past with the paperwork and alphabetizing stuff. But right now it's more physical help we need, people carrying boxes to the trucks and bagging and sorting stuff.
How do people show you that they are by their income? How do you know?
It's always been the honor system, but
okay.
But the clientele, it's familiar faces. We know them, and there's been additional people because there's been layoffs, and it's basically minimal paperwork. In October is when everybody usually applies. And they apply throughout the month throughout the year if they don't make it to the October food bank. But that's the federal year. And that's when we look at their ID and round out the income and all that. But that's ideally when everything was indoors. When it's outdoors, it's shifted gears a bit. It's just, you know, how many live with you and this is what you qualify for. Now, who knows by October, when it's re-registration time, how that's going to go. If this pandemic is still going on, which I believe it will, there may be a change in all that, but it's too soon to say how they're going to want us to do that. But Food Bank of America, Food Bank of Alaska, you see commercials on TV about it. It's a good place to donate to with your pick, click, and give and all that. And that's the stuff we get at bypass mail, and then we sort it, and it's every month. When we do food bank, or we did two this month, we bag stuff ahead of time. Like last night, a team of us were bagging things to get it ready to go. So there's lots of levels where people can volunteer. And again, Mary has helped in the past. I just don't have a paperwork thing for her to do at this time because that's minimal. Anyone that does want to volunteer with any aspect of any of the food distributions we're doing, us being volunteers that are doing the produce thing and Lions Club that's doing the food bank, I happen to have hands in both of those events. If anyone want to volunteer in any capacity or they have questions about it, my landline home phone, it's in the phone book, is 543-4368, 543-4368. And there's a recording machine that's always running if I'm not here.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Susan.
All right. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go to Michelle from BCSF. Good morning, Michelle. Welcome to Talkline.
Good morning. Thank you for having my call. Hey, I'm calling with some exciting news in partnership with the City of Bethel today.
Oh, awesome.
This afternoon, we are launching the Bethel Business Recovery Grant Program in conjunction with the City of Bethel. And so this program is for businesses to apply for grant funds if they have been impacted by COVID-19 or need to make efforts to prepare their business to stay in business and interact with the public or have their employees be safe as a result of COVID-19.
Oh, okay. Yep.
So any business owner or small businesses that happen to be listening today, if your business has been impacted, the link on our website is now live, and you can visit it at bcsfoundation.org, and the / is COVID business. If you just go to bcsfoundation.org, you'll find it under grant applications, but direct to bcsfoundation.org /COVID business. There will be links to this application from the City of Bethel website. It'll be in social media from both the city and BCSF, and we'll be mailing every business that has a business license with the city a physical copy of the program guide and application.
So if a business was impacted most in, say, April and May, but then things got loosened up and we can go to restaurants now and go to stores, can they apply for losses they took earlier?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they can. This is meant to be relief and recovery money. And it's also for response, for businesses that might need to make some modifications this fall or, need to purchase, PPE for employees or customers or those kinds of things. So it's both a look back, what's happening now, and a look forward. The money has to be spent, however, by December 15th.
Oh, okay. So the money that they get has to go directly to COVID-related activity, or because for some places it was just a loss of income because they were closed for 5 weeks or 6 weeks.
Right, exactly. And so in those cases, the money can be used just to recover, operating expense funds.
Yep. Gotcha. All right.
So each business will have sort of a different or unique circumstance with that, and there's a bunch of information in the program guidelines about eligibility and eligible expenses. So that'll be really clear when a business goes to look and see if the way they have been impacted is eligible.
Do you mind giving just an example or two of what you all envisioned in terms of people applying for this? For example,
For like eligible expenses?
Yeah, or the kind of restaurants, what kind of businesses are you thinking of?
So it's really any business that has a valid business license with the City of Bethel by January 1st, 2020. So they have to have a business license here, or an exemption. There are certain professional licenses that are exempted from having that business license. And they have to have a physical or employee or the business owner presence in the community. So they have to have a substantial presence here. And then there's a couple of things in the guidelines that are probably a little complicated to get into on talk line
around
sales tax and being, up to date on payments of taxes and city liens and things like that, that would be inclusions or exclusions depending on compliance. But they're pretty simple. A business will be able to go through the bullet points and know if they're eligible. And we designed this with the intention to make our local businesses eligible. So, restaurants and all kinds of businesses, all the places that we see around town, and some of them have physical structures and some of them don't. And if so there's lots of examples. There's 538 businesses with licenses here. So
I didn't know that's a lot. I didn't know there were over 500 business licenses. Okay, and they have to have a business license with the city, right, to be qualified?
They do, or they have to be exempted. There's a few businesses that are allowed to operate their businesses without those city licenses, and they know who they are. It's those are unique scenarios.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you. What a, that's so wonderful.
Yep. We hope to hear from lots of folks, and we'll be on coffee at KYUK giving more information on Monday, and we'll have lots of information out for the public, and are happy to answer any questions. If people have questions, they can call Kate here at BCSF at 543-1812. And a quick shout out to the city. The city's the implementer of this program. They've done a great job putting this all together, and we have served in a technical assistance role, so it's been a fabulous partnership, and I want to thank everyone for their time and efforts to get this out rapidly for our businesses in the community.
Really good work, Michelle. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Thanks, Diane.
Glad you called.
Bye.
Okay, so if you're a business, if you have a license, you can go to bcsfoundation.org. There will be a live, there's a link there that you can click on that gives you all the criteria for applying for COVID relief funds through a partnership with BCS and BCSF and the City of Bethel. Okay, good. I think my mic, did my mic go out of wink again? Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. There. Oh, now it's okay. That sounds better for my mic. All right. Thank you. So please feel free to call us, and you can also email us at radio@kyuk.org. You can call us at 543-5985, 543-2756. You can also call 800-995-8954. We have a couple of activities coming up, mainly around the food distribution. So today from 4 to 5, there's dairy and produce in the Cultural Center boxes. And then tomorrow is the customary Lions Club food dispersal, income-based. And that happens, I believe, from 11? It's in the Tundra Drill. Oh, it's in my, okay, I'll get everyone the time on that. Again, it's on the Tundra Drums announcement. So, so tomorrow the food bank will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it'll be all outdoors. So you'll drive up if you're income qualified, and you know if you are, then they will give a box to you, put it in your car for you. Okay. Very good. And let's see. Okay, so we have a new refuge manager in Bethel. We have a new police chief in Bethel. They've come up from Texas, and that's kind of interesting. Grady's from Texas, so there's kind of a little connection there going on. All right, our lines are open, and we have about 15 minutes left of the show, about 10 minutes left of the show. So you're welcome to call in. All right. Talk more directly close. It's kind of going in and out, it sounds like, because I can hear it in my own. I can hear my voice in my own head, which is not always great. Okay, so here, this is my flower report right now. So the two main flowers that are really, well, three. There's the candlestick orchid, which is very small, about 2 inches high, if that. Little white flowers. Smells wonderful. But the smell doesn't last long, because as you inhale it, you're actually inhaling the smell, and it has to regenerate the fragrance. So, but it's a really beautiful smell. And the fireweed, as you know, it's about midway up its stalk, so it's got a few more weeks to go before it and summer begin to wind down, although today it kind of feels like it. And then there's something called a mountain harebell, and that's a very blue flower. No leaves, it's just on a little stalk, and usually they're by themselves, but sometimes they cluster up and have a little conversation amongst each other. So that's a really nice flower. And then there's some yarrow around, and there's some clover, which has a little flower on it. There's also the like a dandelion-like flower. It starts out yellow. It's a weed, and then it'll turn into a little dandelion ball that you blew on as a child. And I think that's about what I'm seeing. Other than, you know, blueberries are ready to go. I do know a few spots. I might raffle those locations. I haven't decided yet. I have a elder that I have to take to a couple of places that are where she doesn't have to walk real far. And there's lots of berries, so I've scouted that out. And I see the red cranberries are half red, half still creamy white. So they're not ready. But there's a lot of blackberries that, I don't know, I've picked some and I've eaten them and they taste really good. I thought they came later for some reason, but maybe now's their time too. So the tundra is doing its thing, as it always does. It's very nice. So, what do you got, Grady? What about you? What do you see out there?
Well, no, I was actually asking a friend to tell me about their experiences growing up in the Delta and berry picking. What was a real like standout moment? And they related to me a story of coming upon a bunch of salmon berries at a secret spot by boat.
Uh-huh.
And I can only imagine it. But in my imagination, you know, I'm imagining what this just a sea of salmon berries would
yeah.
look like.
I've seen some photos on Facebook that amaze me. They're like, because out where I walk, I know where there are 10 salmon berries in this one spot. And I usually get them every year. This year there's only like about 8 of them. And they're all spread far apart. But then you see these photos on Facebook where people boat to these different places and it's like a treasure. You can actually sit down and pick. And then scoot your butt along, pick some more.
Or pick and pick and pick and leave and not see the dent.
Yeah, you can, that's the other thing. You can't even tell where you picked. There's so many.
That would be amazing to me.
Yeah, that is amazing. So anyway, I really enjoy seeing those photos. I love those salmon berries, and there's so much you can do with them. And you know, they have more vitamin C than any other citrus, even apple, oranges, grapefruit, stuff like that. The salmon berry is like a powerhouse of vitamin C.
Not to be, not to put down the rose hip though.
Oh, well, the rose hips are really good too. We don't have a lot of those
around here. Hey, but around here, just want to call a shout out to Saturday, that Saturday night painting party at the dumpsters.
Oh,
for the last few remaining ones. And at 4, I think pizza's going to be dropped off.
At 4 o'clock today?
No, Saturday.
I mean Saturday. Tomorrow. Oh, right. Good. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain.
It's till midnight, so I might be wrong about the time of the food. But the point of the story is if you want to paint a dumpster.
Oh, my gosh. Saturday night, then, it's going to be like a dumpster painting party.
And definitely social distance because they're spaced quite a distance apart from each other.
Yeah, once you latch onto your special dumpster, you'll be far enough away from the others that you can paint. There's some really beautiful ones. There's one of it looks like a ocean with some trees, and there's another one with giant salmonberry, giant blueberry. Yeah, just lots of really good stuff. So I have a email I'm going to read from Anonymous, and it goes like this. Anonymous, please. Got my BNC packet and saw that board members received over $100,000 each in compensation in 2019, over $1 million in all. Sounds a little wacky comparing to the amount of shareholder dividends last year, less than $500. Corporate madness to me. End of email. All right. So, that's what I'm seeing. There's also a lot of wild rhubarb, but it's a little bit late now to be picking it. But I have in mind next year because I know where there is a lot of wild rhubarb. And the leaves, I guess you can prepare the leaves, and it's really good. We have an anonymous caller from Alaska. Good morning, Anonymous.
Good morning. This is in regards to the Yupik talk show yesterday. They were cutting the elders short, letting them talk for 3 minutes, and I don't think the elders knew that they were being cut off. They sure give out a lot of good information. They should have a chance to give their say about what they should go on about in this world. That's all I have to say. I was offended for them. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think on the show we're always, you know, like today, like now we don't have a lot of callers, so if somebody called, they might get a little more time, and then when I see callers are coming in, I tighten up the time, so it's a little bit flexible. I don't know how they do it on the other shows. Some of the other shows, you only have 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, and there's an added, a small added hiccup with the Yuktoon talk shows right now because we're doing social distancing with those hosts operating from remote. So there's an operator communicating,
yeah.
You know, caller, this. So dealing with the rules of the call engagement and communicating back and forth tends to be an issue. I think that the operator yesterday was operating on some standard guidelines that we use here at the station for 3 minute calls.
Right. Yeah. So. Okay, so, and I think today I've had a little problem with my mic, that it's going in and out, but I'm trying to stay fixed in one place so I can get everything. Okay, I'm going to give out the numbers again and just see if somebody wants to call in our last minutes of the show. 543-5985, 543-2756, 1-800-995-8954, or you can email us at radio@kyuk.org.
I don't want to cause a traffic jam tomorrow, but it does appear that becomes a kind of de facto museum showing of the existing dumpster art. Because otherwise we have to drive all around town looking
for
them.
So right. If you want to see all of the dumpsters, you probably need to go to the dump. It just sounds funny to tell people. Go to the dump to see the beauty.
Between 4 and midnight, though, you could do a drive, like, you know, sometimes
tomorrow,
I go for a drive
yeah.
at 7, you know, yeah. at night, and not a bad stop-off spot.
Right,
you know?
Right. I did add it to my morning, my Saturday morning drive-arounds with my friend that I spend all my Saturday mornings with. And we went out there last Saturday during the day because if the dump's open, you could go and see them. But tomorrow you'll be able to actually see the artists in action. And if you want a dumpster, they have available a couple of dumpsters. And
so
they've got paints, they've got all the supplies that are there. You'll get tips on, you know, how to draw something on there that's going to look good when you paint it in. And you'll see the other dumpsters. And then I think after Saturday at midnight, I think next week they'll start distributing them throughout town. And they don't have a particular place. They're going to be spread all over. So if you want to see them all in one place and just get a sense of them, that's good. Or you could just kind of let yourself be surprised as the months go on and you go down a street and you go, oh, my goodness, and you can take delight. Also a reminder that the dumpsters have a sign on them that allows you to call the city of Bethel if you have a large item like a couch, mattresses, maybe even a pickup truck, things that people leave next to the dumpster that really should go to the dump. And if you are at home and you have some of those items, go ahead and call that number. It's on the dumpsters. There's a sign on every single dumpster. All right, I'm going to go to Yvonne Waska from Bethel. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, good morning to our people on the YK Delta and the listeners. Now we got all our salmon and maybe not all, but I'm waiting on servers now. But we have to keep in mind our food source is still in jeopardy. And due to that Donald gold mine, that's the cause. And I don't know what came about that. So list thing to vote on it, but that was to make I the way I believe define it was so they wouldn't be liable. So just leaders, I believe. But we can't just sit back and let it happen. We can't get comfortable and look like they're going forward on that. And I hope that just the vote comes out, look like nothing happened on it. I never hear anything yet. Hmm. But we have to keep in mind our food source is still in jeopardy. And I hope you people are aware of that, and we need to stop this gold mine from happening. And I thank the Lord for giving us the food and from the Kuskokwim River. And maybe in closing, the coronavirus is still around, and it's like I watched our national news that professional healthcare, he predicted two years maybe, just like that Spanish flu.
Hmm.
But on the good side, there's the vaccine coming out, and I hope, but the words from Dave Trantham stand out. We will defeat this sickness. And I agree on Dave on that. And, I hope the kid will be safe on this coming school time, but they're stronger than us anyway. Okay, good morning.
Okay, good morning. Thank you, Yvonne. Okay, so that's going to be our show for today, July 24th. We apologize for the technical difficulties we had with the mic. Apparently, my voice was going in and out, and sometimes people weren't hearing anything, according to emails that we have here. So we will look into that and get that fixed up for the next time. Have a wonderful weekend, and look around for the flowers.
Express yourself.